What an awesome God who rules and reigns in the eternal heavens, high above all gods and thrones and kingdoms. And yet, He has His throne within the breast of every believer. Greetings in the name of Jesus. What a joy to be together today, share together in the worship of our King, the praise and adoration of our Lord Jesus Christ. I was ordained in 1990. It was August. If I calculate correctly, that's 23 years. In one way, it seems like a long time. In another way, it seems like a very short time. And sometimes people will ask me, well, Aaron, if you've been sharing the Word for so long, it's probably pretty easy by now. But I have found that seems like the longer that I have this privilege and opportunity to open the Word of God and share the Word, the more I sense my need of Him. And that unless the Holy Spirit quickens the Word to our hearts, you know, they can just be empty words. And yet the Word of God is not empty. So I want to be careful how I say that. But I sense the great need of the Spirit of the living God quickening His Word to us to make it life, and that we could receive nourishment and be fed. So I appreciate your prayers. It is a joy to preach the Word of God. It is a delight. But it's also a place of fear and trembling. I'm going to seek to share a message here with this congregation that I shared at Joy. And for my past experience, that has been a bit challenging for me. It's probably my flesh or my, I don't know, my temptation. But I desire today to preach the Word of the Lord and to seek for a blessing from God for the congregation here today as we look into His Word, a message that I shared at Joy when I was there two Sundays ago. So if you will, with me this morning, open your Bibles to 1 John Chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1. Maybe we could read this together. Will you stand with me to the reading of the Word of God? And let's read it together, all together. 1 John 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that, when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we bow before You, Lord Jesus. We thank You, Father, for Your Word. We thank You, Father, for Your Holy Spirit, Father, Your presence with us today. And Father, we come asking, Lord, for a blessing upon the preaching of Your Word, We come asking for a blessing upon the hearing of the Word. Father, we ask for a blessing upon this congregation, Lord. For each one that is here, Father, You know all of us. You know exactly where we are in life and what we are facing and the needs and the temptations and the trials. And so, Father, we ask You today, would You give a full portion, Lord, of blessing by the anointing of Your Spirit, quickening the Word to every heart, to every believer? Lord, only You can do these things, Lord. But Father, we are so grateful that You're the great and mighty God who knows us. You know our groanings. You know our longings. You know our desires, Lord. And Father, You are able to meet every hungering, thirsting need here today. Father, would You give a portion to the sisters, Lord, who labor faithfully in ministry to their families, to their children, Lord, to their husbands, those that are married, Father, to would You give a portion to the young ladies here today, those that are single, in their youth, Lord, would You minister grace to them also, Lord? Father, would You give a full portion to the fathers here, Lord, the dads, the priests in the home, Lord, Father, who have children to minister to, have a wife, who have an occupation, Lord, and many things to care for. Oh, Lord God, You're our strength. You're our strong tower. We run to You, Lord. We need You, Lord. Father, we pray that You would quicken this congregation by Your Spirit, Lord. And Father, that this would be a day of beholding our wondrous Lord and Savior and gaining strength, Lord. Father, we pray that this would be a day of victory, of overcoming. Overcoming maybe besetting sin or discouragement or lukewarmness or indifference, Lord, or whatever it may be, Lord. Some defilement, Lord. Something that would hold us back from the fullness of the blessing of the Lord. Father, we pray this would be a day of victory, of deliverance, of grace and power. Lord, You know. You know us. You know our frame. You know we're but dust. And even as a father pitieth his children, so You pity them that fear You. So, Father, I pray we may be found today in the fear of the Lord and in the faith of God and of Jesus Christ. We pray in Your name. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. We just want to walk through this few verses here. Titled to the message is What Manner of Love? Behold, what manner of love. Fix your gaze upon and look intently upon the love of God. Stop and behold. Focus in on the love of God. Look deeply into this love. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. What is this manner of love? This is the love that so moved the Creator God, the King of the universe, that He gave His only begotten Son. He gave His Son to save a fallen human race so that we would not perish but have everlasting life. Stop and behold and consider what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we who were dead in trespasses and sins should be saved and washed and redeemed. We who were walking according to the course of this world, a spirit of disobedience, fulfilling the flesh and the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, alienated from God, strangers to the promise of God. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. Stop and consider gaze intently. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. Hymn writers have tried to describe it with many different words. We have a hymn, "And Can It Be That I Should Gain an Interest in the Savior's Blood? Died He for me, who caused His pain for me, who Him to death pursued?" Amazing love! Amazing love! How can it be that Thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Amazing love! Behold what manner of love, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In Ephesians it tells us, "For His great love wherewith He loved us, God who is rich in mercy, in His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ." His great love. We have another hymn that describes this love. "Jesus, Thy boundless love to me. No thought can reach, no tongue declare. Unite my thankful heart to Thee, and reign without a rival there. Thine holy, Thine alone I am, my soul with constant love aflame." Oh, how cheering is the ray of God's love. That amazing love. That my God should die for me. Amazing love. "In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we through Him might live. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Behold! Behold what manner of love! Such love, such wondrous love as has never been seen, never been paralleled, never been equaled. That sinless Son of God would take upon Himself my sin. And He that knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Amazing love! What wondrous love! What wondrous love! Behold, what manner of love! Another hymn puts it so beautifully this way. "The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. There is no one outside of the reach of God's love. Jesus died to save sinners. He came to seek and save that which was lost. And He'll reach down into the depth of corruption and filth and sin and snatch the soul right out of that pit of hell. Praise God! It reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave His Son to win. His erring child He reconciled and pardoned from our sin. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure." The saints and angels' song. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. Could we with ink the ocean fill And were the skies of parchment made? And every stalk on earth a quill? And every man a scribe by trade? To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. How big is that scroll? They're developing more powerful telescopes to see farther and farther into the heavens, and the heavens declare the glory of our God, and they are measuring distance by light years. Because of the speed that light travels, they had to find a number that they could somehow measure the greatness and the vastness of God's wonderful creation and expanse, where He put all the stars in their orbit and put them all in their places and calls them by name. And they keep finding more and more galaxies and stars. It's just amazing. It just baffles the astronomers. Well, the hymn writer said, if the ocean were ink, the whole ocean, how many gallons might that be? How many cubic tons might it be? And 7 billion people on earth were filled with revelation of God and His love. And they would begin to write. And their tablet to write upon, it's the scroll of the heavens. Billions and billions and billions of miles to write upon. And the hymn writer says, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. You know, I believe that. I believe that hymn writer was inspired. In fact, they tell me that the man who wrote that verse, you've heard the story probably, he was locked up in an asylum and declared to be mental. Was it during World War II? Does anybody have the whole story on it? Hitler's regime putting people away because they don't want him in society. They don't want these weirdos who believe in God. We're going to get rid of God in our new economy. And they locked this guy away. And he found some means of inscribing on the cell of his solitary confinement these words. Could we think the ocean fill? You know, they could lock him up. They could take away his bodily freedoms, but they couldn't take away his depth of the understanding of the love of God. And he wrote these words. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. My, we should just stop and sing some hymns, shouldn't we? And just worship the Lord. I'm sure different thoughts come to your mind of different hymns that have been written. And the Word of God is rich and full of God's love that we should be called the sons of God. No longer an outcast. Praise God. I'm an heir of the King. The Word of God says, you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father! Father! My Papa! Our Father which art in heaven! My Father! The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Oh, praise the Lord. What a standing. is yours, brother, sister, that we should be called the sons of God. God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. I will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and my daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Wherefore? Wherefore? Come out from among the heathen and the unsaved and the wicked, as far as having their mentality and mindset and living according to their values and their system of what is enjoyable and what makes you happy. Timothy, as you shared this morning, they think that's going to make them happy, you know, things and enjoying the pleasures of sin. But therefore says, come out from among them and be you separate and touch not that unclean thing. And I will be a father to you. And ye shall be my sons and my daughters. Glory to God. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. To as many as receive Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Ye shall be called the sons of God. Let us continue on through this Scripture. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. You see, when we're adopted into God's family, and we're baptized in His Holy Spirit, we speak with new tongues, we walk to the heartbeat of our Master, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are not in sync and in step with the world. And the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. You know, those ties, those relationships with the world, where there was maybe a comradeship and a linking together when we ran to the excessive riot of the world, that is now changed. We are now sanctified and washed and cleansed, and we now have a new allegiance and a new king. And we don't belong to this world. And this world knoweth us not. You know, that's a pretty good scripture to examine myself in my relationship with Jesus Christ. How is my relationship with the world? Does the world know me? Do I know the world? Does what excites the world excite me? Does what gets their fire burning get mine burning? Are their values and their value systems the same as mine? Do they know me? You know, to know is to have fellowship. The world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Jesus said, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, and I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. But I thought we're supposed to love the world and show them the love of Christ and win the world. Amen, we are. But we don't do it from the platform of being in the world and in the same excess of riot that they run to and being partakers with them in their pursuit of pleasure and their pursuit of satisfaction in the things of this world. You know, their pursuit of fulfillment and meaning to life. Our meaning of life is very different, because we are looking. Yeah, we're in this world, but we're not at home here. The Bible says we're strangers and pilgrims, and we are looking for a city which has foundations and whose builder and maker is God. And this world is not my home. God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Ah, yes, there comes the cross of Christ. I belong to Jesus. I glory in the cross. And the cross stands. And it's foolishness to the world. But oh, to those who believe, the cross is precious. Because on that cross, my Savior died for my sins and redeemed me and bought me. Just a little practicality here. You know, they think it's strange that we run not with them to the same excessive riot and speak evil of you. And in our day that we live in, that may well happen by professing Christians. Oh, come on, lighten up. You can do a little social drinking, do a little partying. Come on, lighten up. Go with us. We're not going to do anything wicked. We're just going to go have some fun. Come on, join us. What would Jesus have me to do? Oh, I urge us. Consider and behold the love of God that He has bestowed upon us. Why would we want to run after other loves in any way? Yeah, you may be evil spoken of, and one of those ways they often evil speak is that, say, well, you just think you're better and you're self-righteous or whatever. And you know, that can happen. A Christian can be self-righous. A Christian can have an attitude that is better than and holier than thou. But you know, in today's expression and testimony of Christianity, if you're going to be serious about following the Lord Jesus Christ and loving the Lord God with all your heart and walking in obedience to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, I think you're probably going to be looked upon as a bit strange. Lord God, help us. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. And this love relationship, it moves us. It motivates us. It quickens us to walk with Jesus and to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind and all of our strength. And to love our neighbor as ourselves, praise God. This love is so amazing, so rich. Verse 2, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. Our Lord Jesus is coming again. He shall appear. And we know that when He shall appear, there is going to be a mighty transformation take place. Our Lord Jesus shall appear. This we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that they which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. He shall appear. This same Jesus, as He walked out there with His disciples, and He was caught up from their presence up into the air, and they stood there gazing up into heaven. The angel came and said, why are you standing here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus that has gone up into heaven is going to come again. Wow! And He shall appear in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trump shall sound. And in a twinkling of an eye, He shall appear. It could happen right during this service. It could happen right during my preaching. In the twinkling of an eye, it says. How long does it take to blink your eye? Split second. In a split second, in a twinkling of an eye, the Lord Jesus shall appear. in power and great glory and might, with His holy host of angels coming with Him. He that shall come will come and shall not tarry. Brothers and sisters, lift up your heads. Your redemption draweth nigh. He is coming again. And when He shall appear in a moment with the sound of a shout and a trump of God, mighty things are going to happen. The dead are going to be raised up immediately, instantly. And when He shall appear, we are going to be changed. The Bible says we shall be like Him. There's a transformation going to take place. We shall be like Him in a moment at the last trump of God when He shall appear. Beautiful scripture in Corinthians that talks about this. Some men may say, 1 Corinthians 15, if you want to take that down for reference, but some men shall say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, so we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Wow. As we bear the image of this earthly temple, this earthly body, so shall we also bear the image of the heavenly. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Glory to God. We shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Glory to God. We know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. Oh, glory to God. In a moment, this old body is going to be changed, going to be transformed. This perishable, decaying, sickly, weak part of earth is going to be changed, and we're going to give a new body. Wow. He shall change our vile body, this old corruptible body, this dying body, this body that needs to be washed, becomes smelly, needs to be fed, clothed, and all these things. This body, sometimes we need to take medicines, or we need to have adjustments to our back because we can't hardly walk anymore. We have pains and aches and all these different things. He's going to change this vile body. It tells us in Philippians, we look for Jesus, the Savior, who will change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body. Wow! Unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things to Himself. We are going to get a new body. And many songs have been written about that as well. I'll have a new body. I'll have a new life. I'll have a new hope, eternal glory, hallelujah. We're going to be changed. Wow, Christian, brother, sister, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Oh, I'd never miss heaven for the world. Would you? What an awful exchange. What would a man give in exchange for the world, for his soul? My, what would he give? All the world? No, brother, sister, we're going to have a brand new body. We're going to be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. He will transform us, and He will fashion anew the body of our humiliation, of our weakness, of our death, of our dying, of our decay, to conform and to be like the body of His glorious majesty, by exerting that power which enables Him to subject everything to Himself. Wow, isn't that amazing? You know, the God who spoke, and it was so, He is able to speak, and it will be so, it shall be so. And when He speaks, in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the God who created the whole universe is going to take all of these vile bodies, as the Scripture says, and they're going to be changed and transformed into the glorious image of Christ Jesus' glorious body. Wow! What manner of love that dead sinners, dead in trespasses and sins, alienated from God, separated from the commonwealth of Israel, having no part, no hope without God in this world, I mean just lost. That God so loved you and I that He sent His Son to redeem us. And we are called the sons of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. Oh, praise the Lord. It's going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And we'll have a new body. And we'll have a brand new life. We talked about that this morning. When do we get this comfort? You know, when we mourn, when it's a comfort after you die? Or do we get some comfort here already? And well, yes, we agreed we get some comfort here already. But oh, the glory and the comfort that is to come when we're going to be changed and we'll be forever in the presence of the Lord. And we'll have a brand new body that will not get sick anymore. There isn't going to be any dying anymore. There isn't going to be any sorrow anymore. There isn't going to be any crying. And there isn't going to be any pain, oh brother, sister. For the former things are passed away. Glory to God. No mourning, no sorrow, no anguish or grief or pain. For the former order of things, as we know them now, is going to be passed away. And there's a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Well, I like the way the psalmist said, "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness, and I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." Oh, amen. Can you imagine the sheer ecstasy and joy to be awakened in the likeness of my Savior? Oh, that'll be heaven. That'll be glory. But oh, the terror to be awakened and be yet in my sins and yet guilty and fearful and running to try to hide from the presence of Almighty God, from the face of Him that sitteth upon His throne, crying for rocks and mountains to fall. Fall upon us and hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne. You know, this is reality, brothers and sisters. There will be two classes when that moment, twinkling of an eye, takes place. The righteous, the redeemed, shall rise up to meet their Lord in the air. But the sinners are going to weep and wail and mourn because of Him. Oh, today, there is yet opportunity to share this good news of the gospel and the love of God with the lost. And today, there is yet hope for you if you're not saved. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. We shall see Him as He is, praise God. Now through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Brother Paul, can you come up here? You know, it's through a glass darkly. I have at home some real deeply tinted glass. And when you look through that glass, everything looks very dark. And that's how the Bible describes this. It's now through a glass darkly. And we walk by faith, not by sight. But then, we are going to see Him face to face. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord. And we're going to see Him. Can you imagine that? Brother Robert, where are you? I mean, to see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. My blessed Redeemer. Glory to God. Thank you, Brother Paul. Amen. Face to face with Christ, my Savior. Face to face, what will it be? Oh, blissful moment when I see my Jesus. And you know who wrote that? I believe it was Fanny Crosby, the blind lady. And she wrote about seeing her Savior. Oh, glory, hallelujah. Then face to face. Now I know in part, imperfectly, but then I shall know. Even as I am known, I shall see clearly. Yeah, Job had this hope. He said, though skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. I'm going to see God. Hallelujah. Well, he goes on to say, beloved, now are we the sons of God. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And verse 3, every man that has this hope in him, every man who has this hope of seeing Jesus, every man who has this consolation of Jesus Christ, has that strong hope of eternal life, of seeing Jesus, this hope which we have as an anchor of the soul, sure and steadfast. Ah, everyone that has this hope purifies himself. It works a holy sanctifying in his life. This hope that my Savior is coming for His bride. And He paid the price to wash her from every spot and every wrinkle. He's coming back for a glorious church, a bride who has kept herself clean. She's virtuous and undefiled. That's the kind of bride Jesus is coming back for. And every man that has this hope, he purifieth himself. Dearly beloved, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and of the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Having these promises of God walking with us, God being our Father, and we His sons and daughters, everyone who has this hope, yes, of seeing the Lord Jesus, he cleanses himself, he purifieth himself. And you know, there's no way that I can wash myself from any sin, though I wash myself ever so clean with all manner of soap. No, that's not what we're talking about here. Only the blood of Christ Jesus can cleanse us from our sins. Not by works of righteousness. No, 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 we're not talking about that. But we're talking about the child of God who loves God and loves righteousness. He hates iniquity. And he takes serious the call to holiness and to walk with God in purity. And he takes serious the scripture, put ye off the old man with his deeds. Mortify the deeds of the flesh and of the body that you may live. And put on the new man. Make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. No, don't do that. He desires to walk in cleansing of purity of both spirit and flesh. He says, cleanse yourselves from all filthiness of the flesh. And when we think of filthiness of the flesh, we think of a stain or a pollution as on a garment. And it refers to the defiling and corrupting influences of carnal appetites, the passions of the body, including all such actions as are inconsistent with the virtue and purity with which the body, as regard to the temple of the Holy Spirit, is to be kept. This body is the temple of the Spirit of God. And if you defile the temple, the Bible says, him shall God destroy. This is no fun and games. This is no light matter. Keep yourselves in the love of Christ. Keep yourselves pure and walking in holiness. For without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. And then when we think of purifying himself of spirit, we think of thoughts. What is my thought life like? Are there evil thoughts? Is there thoughts of wickedness, of hatred or despising or proud thoughts? Maybe a desire for revenge, pride. Jesus said, from out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. Covetousness, greedy desire to have wealth or things, possessions. Lasciviousness, unrestrained and indecent conduct. And evil eyes, envy, envious of other people, or blasphemy, slander, evil speaking, malicious misrepresentation, pride, the sin of an uplifted heart against God and man. And foolishness, this all comes out of the heart. Folly, recklessness, thoughtlessness, all these things come from within and defile the man. Oh, he that has this hope, he purifieth himself. Who shall ascend to the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord. Well, if you're here today, and as you hear this word, and the expectation of our soon coming King in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the trump of God, maybe you say, I'm not ready for that day. I'm not ready for that sound of the trumpet. Well, here's a call to repentance and an invitation. Draw nigh to God, James 4:8, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn, and weep, and let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. We have a lovely example in Scripture, a cry for cleansing. Oh Lord, I see my sin. Psalm 51, David crying to God, Lord, have mercy upon me. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, my sin, it is ever before me. Lord, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities, O Lord. A cry for cleansing. Lord, wash me. I have sinned. Have mercy upon me. I acknowledge my transgression. Lord, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. Lord, wash me. You know, maybe no one else knows, but it's in that hidden inward part. But God knows. And God desires truth in the inward part. And God is able to go into the very depth of the heart and to cleanse even the very conscience, praise God. I urge you today, if you are not right with God and there is sin in your life, oh, like David, cry out to the Lord and acknowledge your transgression and cry unto the Lord for cleansing. We have the promise of cleansing. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. From all unrighteousness, He is able to do it. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Oh, praise God. Yeah, such were some of you. A testimony. A testimony. Such were some of you. Fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, thieves, covetous, drunkards, extortioners, they shall not inherit the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 6:9. They shall not. Be not deceived. The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And such was I. Such were some of you. But ye are washed, praise God. Ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. So there's hope for you today. Have you missed the mark? Have you sinned? Have you fallen short? Is there a besetting sin in your life that has a grip on you? Come to Jesus, acknowledging my sin before the Lord and crying out to God for mercy and for cleansing and thorough washing. He is able to do it. And then the redeemed that are going to glory with Jesus Christ are such were some of you. Is there any righteous that doesn't need the cleansing blood of Christ? Is there anyone that has not sinned? No, not one. We are all sinners. We have all sinned and gone our own way. There is none righteous, no, not one. Oh, but you are washed. Lovely testimony. I'd like to share another testimony out of the church in Sardis. Sardis was a church where it says, I know thy works, that thou hast the name that thou livest and art dead. It seems like the church at Sardis was more concerned about keeping up a good reputation, keeping up a good name, and show that we're alive and we're living and we're doing a lot of things for God. But he says, you have a name that you live, but you're dead. But then he gives them these words of admonition, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Then he gives us this testimony, verse 4, Revelation 3, thou hast a few names, and it says, even in Sardis. So though the condition of the church was not very good, things were pretty low. Does that sound familiar? Things were very needy. But yet, in the midst of that situation, there was a few, even in Sardis, amongst all that hypocrisy and trying to keep up a good front and have a name that we're alive, there was a few in Sardis, praise God, which have not defiled their garments. They are clean before the eyes of the Lord, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. I just want to encourage us, brothers and sisters, walk with Jesus in the presence of God, and in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ, and keep yourself pure. Even in the midst of a fallen and apostasy and worldliness and all that's going on, Phariseeism. I believe this church would have fell under that, probably under that heading there. They were still going through the motions, but it was death. It was dead. But praise God, in the midst of those circumstances, there was a few names in Sardis which have not defiled their garments. They are there as a shining bright light and pillar of truth and testimony of God's grace, And like Noah, they believe God and they walk with God. Like Enoch, walked with God in his generation. And God took them. And so He will, all the faithful. He will take them with Him when He comes. Well, let me close with this promise to all of us. Blessed. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for that encouragement on the riches that we have in Jesus Christ. You know, I think that is the greatest thing that we can have to enable us to overcome sin, to overcome the world. When I came to Jesus, I came because I was afraid I was going to go to hell. I knew I was a sinner. And I still have that awareness that in my humanity there's nothing good. Apart from Jesus, that's where I would go. But the greatest motivation is the hope that we have within us, and even the richness that we have right now in that hope. And it's good to be reminded of that. I think, the greatest motivation that our children will have, this is sort of another aspect here, but the greatest motivation our children will have to want to serve God is when they are enjoying a wonderful home life where there's joy, blessing, freedom, victory. Isn't that true? Why would you want something else? Why would you be interested in... And so the devil's great... I think his great scheme, his great plan is to somehow dim our eyes. Dim our eyes as to what we have in Christ. Because then other things start looking better than they really are. Then his lies start to be more appealing. So I was just praying as you were preaching there, just, oh God, open our eyes to the truth of these things. I mean, that's what the Apostle Paul prayed for the Ephesians, right? Oh, I pray for you all the time that the eyes of your understanding would be opened, that you might know the riches of the glory of your inheritance in Christ. I wonder if somebody has a testimony today of how the love of God reached you, or maybe how the love of God, how it keeps you. Does anybody have a testimony like that? Right there.
Yeah, I have a testimony that you said something that made me think about open our eyes, but if we don't have an open soul, He feeds our soul, doesn't He? Because our soul will live forever. Our body's going to die.
Mm-hmm.
So I just thank God how he feeds our soul. He fed it this morning. And He feeds it every day once we get into His Word. And I can never get enough of Him. No one in this church can get enough of Jesus. It's as far north as it is south, like Brother Aaron was saying. And I mean, there's plenty for all of us. And it won't run out. And He feeds what needs to be fed, our soul. Thank you, Jesus. And thank you, Brother Aaron. And thank you for this beautiful family of believers. Let's continue to press on. There's no other place to go but to Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
And wasn't it His love, Robert, that drew you in the first place?
It had to be. Yeah.
Amen. Anybody else? Yes, right over here.
Yeah, I was just so blessed to be here this morning. I kind of came needing a new gaze. And the songs, the Sunday school lesson, and then just the message just topped it off. Life is just full of positive and negative experiences. And the negative ones, if I don't have my gaze on His love, they're filtered through eyes that alter, pushing me towards God.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt like the negative things this week just kept wanting to pull me from that. And I feel like my gaze is back where it can be.
Praise God.
That the world can see Jesus instead of negative things. And I just want to let God use those negative things to push me towards His love and let His love define my life.
Amen. It's good. Anybody else? Yes.
Yeah, this message really stood out to me because I just got back from Indonesia, and the love of God for us as His children has really stood out to me in a different way since I was there. And they don't know anything of the love of a father, and it means something totally different to me now, and I just thank God for revealing that to me in a clearer way, and for the love that He has for them, even though they don't realize it at this time, but He is drawing them. And I just want to thank all of you too for your love. Your notes meant a lot, and your encouragement. And as I was packing up right before I came back, I was reading through all the notes. I was like, wow, the family of God is so precious, and I get to be a part of that because of His love.
Amen. Yeah. Praise God. Mm-hmm. Do we really know how rich we are? I don't think so. I don't think we have any idea. Oh, God, open our eyes.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.